Today I'd like to share with you a topic called Missio Dei, which is a theological term that's translated as the mission of God or the sending of God. And I can't share this subject with you without sharing a piece of my life. When I was 16 years old, I was converted to Oneness Pentecostalism. I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, was baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of my sins. It was just an incredible experience. And as soon as I was converted in Houston, Texas, I was a sophomore in high school. As soon as I was converted, I began to be drawn to the preaching of the Word of God, and I began to be drawn to the ministry of the Word and ministers and preachers. And even today, to this day, I have a love for preachers. I love them so much, but I was drawn to them. And at that time, there was a man in our church, a man and his wife by the name of William Thompson. His wife's name was Molly Thompson. Molly Thompson wrote two books through Word of Flame, When You're In, You're Out, and Of Caesar's Household. Fantastic books. I recommend it. Some of my favorite books. Talks about their work as missionaries in the country of Colombia. They worked with people like Brother Larson, Brother Morley, Brother Dross, a lot of old-time missionaries from New Brunswick, Canada. They were all those missionaries, they were from that area. And the Thompsons, they were from the United Kingdom. And they went there and they began to preach the gospel, and they were converted and began to preach, and they actually saw the oneness movement in the nation of Colombia become second to the Roman Catholic Church. Just a powerful visitation of the Lord happened in that country. Well, by the time the year 2000 rolled around, Brother Thompson was in his 80s and I was 16, and I wanted to just get everything that I could from this man of God. And every afternoon, at that time I worked at a grocery store, I would go to my work, go to high school, get out of high school, go to work, get out of work, and then I would go straight to Brother Thompson's house, and he would begin to share with me the Bible, share with me the truth of God, and he began to tell me story after story of the miracles of the conversions that took place. He told me that there was a time when persecution in that country was just so great that missionaries feared for their life for preaching the gospel, preaching about baptism in Jesus' name. And there was one story where he actually went to a village and began to preach, and people's hearts were open, and there was conversion that was taking place. And some of the people in that village did not like what he had to say, so they chased him out of the village. And so he ran for his life, and he ran, and he fell into a manhole, and you know, the crowd just kind of ran past the manhole, didn't know where he went. They began asking, you know, where did this guy go? And the crowd ended up just kind of going their own separate way. But just the things he had to go through for the mission of God, for preaching this truth that we all embrace here this afternoon. And that is really where I got my concept of mission. We all have different concept of mission. We all have this different concept of what it is to be sent of God, to proclaim, to make known the gospel. But really, for me, that is where I got my concept of this thing called mission, of the sending of God. And Brother Thompson would share with me this scripture found in John chapter 4, verse 35. And this is kind of the basis of my understanding of mission. It says, do you not say that there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are white and already, for they are already white for harvest. So that is where I base my concept of mission. And really, that's where the church bases some of its concept of mission, of the sending of God, is looking at the world and seeing the need that, hey, this world needs to hear about the good news of Jesus Christ. This world needs to hear about all the things the Lord has done in our life. I mean, that is the basis of the mission. And a lot of times I look at missionaries. I used to look at missionaries and I used to think, wow, you know, they're going. places. You know, they're going abroad and they're preaching the gospel. But, you know, when you hear the word go, a lot of times in our churches, the word go can be a little deceptive sometimes, because when we hear the word go in our church, we're thinking, okay, we need to fly across the Atlantic Ocean or fly across the Pacific Ocean. It's a little deceptive. But we need to realize that even when we walk out our front door, we're going somewhere. You know, we're going someplace. And the question is, where are you taking with you when you go to your job, or when you go to your school, or what are you taking with you? And there's nothing better than taking the cause of Christ, because that is something that will cause a life to change. And that's just very, very, very powerful concept. But the greatest thing that ever happened to me and to you, the greatest thing that ever happened is Christ entering our life and us making known what God has done for us, and showing people the glimpse of heaven that we see. That is the breath of the mission. God manifested himself in flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. God has come to us, and now it's our turn in turn to go into our neighborhoods and go and influence our spheres and our worlds for the cause of Christ. People see mission as something we do instead of something we are. Jesus Christ was the mission. He was God manifest in flesh, and he came to us. Now we must understand that mission is not something that we just simply do or participate in. It must be something that we are. It must be in the very, very, it must be in our essence. It must be in our being to influence whoever we come in contact with, to influence them for the cause of Christ. So where did this concept of mission begin? Well, we must go back to the beginning in the book of Genesis. We see in the garden where Adam and Eve are in fellowship with God, and we have to really, really see the Bible as Adam and Eve are in fellowship with God, and we must really see the Bible as a story. It's a narrative. See, many people look at the Bible as like it's a book of promises or a book of rules or a box of promises, but really it's a narrative. It's telling a story. And you see, Adam and Eve are in fellowship with God, and like any good story, there's a problem that takes place. Adam and Eve, they fall into sin, and you see the scattering of the nations in the book of Genesis. You see the problem that arose because of sin entering into the picture. You see the separation between man and between God. And you see from the very beginning God's desire for reconciliation with the creation. And you see how God begins to speak to humanity through the nation of Israel, through Abraham, through Moses. You see the different tools and the different people that God is using to communicate to mankind. And of course, as time goes on, and we won't go into the Pentateuch or into all of that because of time's sake, but you see how when God used certain people, certain groups of people, you see that they ended up falling into failure, and you see that they ended up falling into despair and falling into the degradation of sin. But it never stopped God from wanting to communicate to humanity. God is always trying to communicate to humanity. It never stopped throughout the course of time. It's never stopped God from wanting to have fellowship with humanity. Isaiah 61, 1 and 2, the prophet says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and of the opening prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn." Again, the prophet Isaiah proclaims in Isaiah 57, 7 and 10, he says, "How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who proclaims peace, who brings glad tidings of good things, who proclaims salvation, who says to Zion, 'Your God reigns.' The Lord has made bare his holy arm, and in the eyes of the nations and to the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God." So you see, God is constantly trying to communicate with humanity. He wants to bring them good news. He wants to bring us good news of everything that he has done. And eventually that kind of climaxes into the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And you see the birth of the church take place. and the ecclesia is sent out, the called out ones. And you see God's plan and God's desire to share the program of redemption with humanity, to share the good news of what the Lord has done. And in this time period and in this point in history, you see God is using the church and using individuals to bring that good news to the rest of humanity. You see God using ordinary people like you and me to do great things. And that's really, really fascinating to me. I think that really hits home for me, that God uses ordinary people to share, to give, to pour in, to invest into a lost world. And it's just in my short time of pastoring and encouraging people to share the good news and to share their faith and to realize that they are sent out to do great things for the Lord. A lot of times people, well, they think, well, you know, I don't know if God can use me. I don't know if I'm worthy enough to be used. I mean, I've sinned. I've messed up. I'm broken. I have so much going on in my life. And it's in my short time of pastoring, I see that. I see people not investing, not getting involved. And my word of encouragement to them is that mission really makes the most sense in the dark places. It really makes the most sense in places of trial and places of discomfort. Philippians 1:12 through 14, this is the Apostle Paul talking. Apostle Paul is my hero. If I could like hang a picture of him up in my office, I would do it. But I love the book of Philippians. I love what Paul has to say in this passage. It says, but I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel, so that it has been become evident to all the palace guard and to all the rest that my chains are in Christ. And most of the brethren in the Lord, having become confident by my chains, as are much more bold to speak the word without fear. And Paul, I mean, it's just fascinating. This man is being beaten. This man is being tortured. This man is lying in a dark dungeon for his faith. But yet that does not stop him from sharing his faith. That does not stop him from being a light in a very, very dark place. And a lot of times, you know, like I said, in my short time of pastoring, like I see that people are often become discouraged, but I share these kinds of scriptures with them and I encourage them and I share the example of Paul to them. Paul was in a very, very hard place, but he still realized that he was on mission. He was still on mission. It did not stop him. And actually, his trial actually propelled him to share the gospel even more. It even increased his influence. So no matter what we're going through as Christians, we are still sent out, and our trials can and our heartaches can end up actually furthering the gospel even further. Mission makes the most sense in hard places, even when the basics are difficult. Waking, breathing, smiling, moving. An unfamiliar land, a culture unknown, our life's landscape dry. On broken days and broken places, and then we ask ourselves, are we on a mission of love? You know, a lot of times people, they have so much going on in their life, believers, Christians, and they wake up and they get out of bed and they're like, man, you know, why, you know, am I really the one on the mission of love? I'm the one who's going through so much in my life. I'm the one who's suffering. I'm the one who's in heartache. But then you realize that in those times that, you know, what mission is making the most sense, I want to use my situation for the furtherance of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Are we the ones on a mission of love? Aren't we the ones who are supposed to have it all together or are supposed to have all the answers? Even in your darkest hour, you are still on mission. Even in the toughest battles, you are still on mission. Even at your weakest point, when all faith is gone, God is going to use your story to give life to somebody else. For 2 Corinthians 4, 7 and 9 says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, for that the excellency of the power of God is not, the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. For we are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed. We are always constantly on this mission of love, and no trial can stop us. Nothing can stop this sending, this proclaiming God's love to this entire world. So then the question is, where do I go? Who do I proclaim these good tidings to? And the answer is humanity. Luke chapter 10, verse 27 says, he answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. You know, and Micah and Dr. Seagraves and Shannon, they hit on it earlier in the sessions, in the morning sessions, on how we can be a light and be an impact on people, on humanity, in very, very practical ways. Share your heart, share your life, invest your life into somebody. My pastor in Houston, Texas, always used to pray this prayer. Again, I was 16, 17 years old, and this prayer always stuck with me. It was 6 a.m. prayer meetings. We would go to a lot, us and myself and a lot of the younger guys who were aspiring to ministry. We would meet our pastor at 6 a.m. in the morning, and I don't know how much praying was actually going on, but I mean, every now and then I'd kind of wake up and I would listen to my pastor. He would pray, and he would pray, Lord, let me never walk past someone and not be concerned for them. Let me never walk past someone and not care. I mean, I don't think he even realized that anyone was listening, but he prayed that prayer, and my pastor's just incredible. I've never seen such a man that has a heart for people. He prayed that prayer, and that really affected my heart. And that prayer still lives with me today. Father, you know, I pray, God, you know, let me never walk past someone and not care and not be concerned. I always want to be concerned. I always want to understand that I am on mission and that I am sent of God to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. You can share your heart through acts of kindness. You can share your heart in practical ways. You know, one act of kindness will advance the kingdom of God more than you know. You may think that it's insignificant. You may think that, oh, you know, I'm wasting money or I'm wasting my time. One act of kindness can advance the kingdom of God in ways that you don't even know, you couldn't even imagine. And it is through acts of kindness, through sharing your heart, that you can be transformed into an instrument of his peace, reconciling the world, reconciling your family, reconciling your friends back to God. And I'd like to share this with you. And I'll share this in closing, this poem with you, this prayer. Francis of Assisi prayed this prayer. He said, Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let there be love. Where there is shadow, let me be light. Grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive, and it is in dying that we awake to eternal life. God bless you.